greetings, my fellow psychronauts. How deep into the darkness are you willing to venture in order to free yourself from trauma? The path I had to take towards healing didn't lead me down through these peaceful visions. Instead, spirit presented me with these very dark memories, as if it was urging me to navigate through these shadows where my old demons resided. These were memories that I thought I had buried deep within my subconscious, hoping that they would just fade away with neglect. Yet, with psychedelics, they were presenting them to me again, like burdens I couldn't shake off. In the summer of 2019, I decided that I needed ayahuasca's help to start expelling the past that was swirling in my mind. I was already familiar with ayahuasca. However, it had been roughly 10 years since I tried the brew. This was the first time I was attempting to make ayahuasca. I made it, I drank it, and then I wandered back into my living room and lay down on my couch and just waited for whatever needed to happen. About 40 minutes later, I began to feel a bit nauseous. I could feel that something was moving inside my body, almost like a snake, as if it was just gathering everything that was inside and just bringing it back out. I am one of these people that absolutely hates to throw up. I will resist. I will move around, do whatever I can. But at some point, I just couldn't contain whatever wanted to come out inside of me, that I ran to the bathroom and I lost the battle and everything came out. This is laughing through the scars, cleansing the soul, purging trauma. After emptying the contents of my stomach, I returned to the living room. I laid down on my couch and closed my eyes. As I continued on my ayahuasca journey, it seemed as though I was stepping into the scenes of some kind of movie that was playing out within my own mind. The memory that the ayahuasca brew presented to me was the summer of 1989, when I was 13 years old. During this time period, I was living in Southern California in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. My maternal grandmother came from Mexico for a visit, and she brought along one of the uncles that used to molest me when I was a child. The last time I had seen him, I believe it was when I was about 8 or 9 years old. Not too long after his arrival, he began to creep into my room, even though my grandmother was also sleeping in the same room with me. She had occupied my waterbed, and I was sleeping on the floor. When the molestation started up again, my body felt very paralyzed. I couldn't get my body to react to anything, let alone flee the situation. However, I would distract myself by going somewhere else. The only thing that was still very active was my mind. I was trying to understand why this was happening again. I remained silent about what was going on due to the shame. Having been a victim of molestation at a very young age, I was already programmed to accept certain negative behaviors as being acceptable. Things began to escalate until one evening he attempted to rape me. As he was about to penetrate me, my mind and body finally reacted, and somehow I managed to push him off my back. I escaped and locked myself in the bathroom. I could still feel the presence of my uncle on my back, that I needed to take a shower to make myself clean again. As I was trying to remove the presence of him from my flesh, I began to have this sensation in my heart that something had left me and died inside of me. For many years, I couldn't understand what had left me that night. and I felt very incomplete as a person growing up. After I stopped reliving the memory, the vision shift and I found myself standing in front of several cell-like structures. I don't know how many they were, but there was quite a few rows of these cells. Suddenly, there was a female energy that started to talk to me. Every time she spoke, it seemed to be coming from behind. I couldn't see her. I could only just hear her. And I asked her why she was doing this. I didn't want to remember. And she said to me, "You locked away these parts away in order to protect yourself during your traumatic childhood. You no longer need to keep them safe. Release them." In an instant, I found myself in one of these tiny cells. The atmosphere was heavy with a profound sense of sadness. The first thing I noticed was a holographic image of myself sitting on the left side of the wall, hunched over with my knees pulled up to my chest, lost in a fog of sadness. There was this feeling of loneliness within me and a sense of yearning, as if these parts of me finally wanted to be liberated from the mental prison that were created by my traumas. I looked around the tiny cell. Right near me above, there was this tiny window with two bars. Its walls were coated in a grubby dark shade of yellow. The textures of the walls were rough and worn, bearing the marks of neglect. Somehow I ended up opening up all these cells at once. Out of nowhere, the ceiling dissolved, transforming into a flock of white doves that soared into this beautiful blue sky. At the same time, I was feeling this powerful force surge within me, as though it was stirring something in my soul. And just as suddenly, I was swept away by an intense wave of emotion. There was this sense of liberation, as if whatever I locked away had returned to me. I felt complete as a person. After I had this vision, I started to return back to normal. The summer of 2019 was officially the start where I started to purge trauma from my mind. As I continued experimenting with psychedelics, it felt as though it was chipping away at some of the blockages that I had. By midsummer of that year, I started to feel internally a little bit lighter, happier. I was still trying to wrap my mind on what was happening. I'll share at the end of the episode what convinced me that something was starting to happen, that I was starting to heal. The hardest traumas that were difficult to purge from my mind were the memories of my father. I never had any good memories of him. My earliest memories of him were always marred in violence. I recall being about 3 years old. In this memory, I was standing near the doorway, watching my father dunk my mother's head in the toilet as a form of punishment. I was close to being 4 years old when my mother finally had enough, and we went to go live with my maternal grandmother. My father began to stalk my mother. Sometimes when we were out, he would appear out of nowhere and begin to beat her on the streets. He had been making threats that he was going to kill us. When I was 5 years old, he set out to do just that. He showed up one late afternoon when none of the adult males were there. My maternal grandmother went out to confront him. I could hear these blood-curdling screams from my grandmother, and then there was silence. Panic ensued with those that were inside the house, as we all tried to look for a safe place to hide. I remember my mother opening a closet door and seeing two of my young relatives huddled together, their eyes wide open, frozen in fear. We ran to another closet in the hallway and hid there. As we were hiding, my mother covered my mouth and whispered to me in Spanish to be quiet. I held my breath in, not wanting to make a noise. In this particular closet, there were these wooden slits on the door so I could still see outside. I saw my father standing in front of the door with a black crowbar or a black tire iron in his right hand. At this moment, one of my mom's younger brothers distracted him, and this gave us the chance to escape through the back of the house. My mother pushed me over this brick wall, and we ended up running down this alley, looking for a payphone so she could call her brothers and let them know what was happening at the house. My grandmother was okay. She was severely beaten and suffered a broken arm from the assault. Sometimes when I would go shopping with my mother or some family members, I would start to have a panic attack and we had to leave. In my mind, I thought that if I left the safety of the store, that my father was out there ready to kill us. As a child, I was petrified of this man. After the age of 8, I didn't really see my father for many years. When I was 20 years old, I went looking for him, hoping to establish some kind of father-daughter relationship with him. During that time period, he was remarried with 2 small children, and he had a business selling industrial sewing machines. I asked if I could work for him, and after some time, he agreed with the condition that I didn't reveal to his children that I was related to them. Whenever these children came into the business, they were not aware that I was related to them. When I started working for my father, I never called him father, and I never called him by his name because I didn't want to be disrespectful. For example, if someone wanted him, I would just go up to him and say, "Hey, so-and-so is looking for you," because since he was never a father to me, I didn't feel that he deserved that title. The father-daughter relationship I was hoping to have with him never met it. Instead, what I received was constant criticism. Nothing I ever did was good enough for him, not even sweeping the floor. Because of this constant criticism, I developed this anxiety where I had to keep myself constantly busy when I was around him in order to please him. But no matter what I did, it was never good enough. He always found a reason to yell at me or make me feel worthless. He always wished the worst for me, and he had the tendency to throw in my face how he wished he had killed us when he had the chance. I continue working for him, enduring his psychological abuse, hoping that something would change between us and we could have this father-daughter relationship that I imagined in my mind. When you have your own biological father constantly telling you that it's better if you're dead, at some point I started to believe it. I was going through a very severe depression. I was seeing a man that was starting to be abusive towards me. I was having a very hard time that particular week with my father, that it triggered my first suicide attempt. I figured if my own father wanted me to be dead, what's the point of living? So I attempted to take my life at age 21. By now, I had been working for him for about a year and a half. Then one day, after returning back to his business, I accidentally spilled some sewing machine oil in the back of his truck when I was picking up some machines. I went inside the business and picked up some rags and just started cleaning the oil. My father came out and started yelling at me, and he went back inside the business, slamming the heavy-duty black security door behind him, locking me out of the business. I knocked at the screen door, and I could see my father turning around. He informed me that he didn't want me to set a foot in his business again and didn't want to see me. I told him that I needed my belongings, and he opened the door to hand me my stuff, and I threw his keys inside the business. Then he slammed the door. I stood there watching my father through that metal screen door, walking away from me. I held in all the hurt that I felt by my father's rejection. Not wanting to give him the satisfaction that he hurt me, I wouldn't permit myself to cry. I just tucked the hurt away somewhere within me, and expecting it to just disappear if I ignored it. I'll explain in another episode how these types of traumas affected my life growing up. By the time I was 11 years old, I was becoming a version of my father, but that's for another episode. It took quite a bit of time to purge my father from my subconscious. It wasn't until February of 2020, a session with psilocybin, that I felt that I was finally making some kind of progress. During this session, I was trying to keep myself from having an emotional breakdown, that I made my way to the floor, curling up in a fetal position. I was being bombarded with all these memories. There's one that stood out, the one where I was watching my father walking away from me. I closed my eyes, hoping that it would just go away. I was feeling this energy in my face, forcing me to remember these memories, acknowledge them, and accept them. I was getting a little bit angry that I was being forced to acknowledge these traumas, that I was having a rather difficult time surrendering to the emotion. I began to feel the presence of several entities in the room, as though I was some kind of experiment and they were observing what the psychedelics were doing to me, similar to a lab rat surrounded by scientists. I shouted to the spirits to make it stop. I had done such a good job perfecting this barrier around me that I just numbed it. Emotionally, I didn't know how to process my father's rejection. I started to have this I don't care attitude and build this wall around my heart where I didn't care about anything to do with love. If I started feeling love for someone, I had the tendency of sabotaging it, hurting them in some way to make them not want to be in my life. I thought it was safer that way to live. And now here was spirit forcing me to acknowledge that I was hurt. There was this feeling that I had to confront truth presented by spirit. Yet despite my denial, I had to admit to myself that I once yearned for my father's love. I was starting to feel this intense rage. I kept turning my head from side to side to make them go away. I needed to get off the floor. With whatever strength I still had within me, I began to crawl like a toddler back to my bed. As I struggled to lift myself up to the edge of the bed, I was desperately attempting to mend the walls I had erected around my heart. But as everything began to crumble, I realized I couldn't keep the facade intact any longer. My dam was on the verge of breaking. As hard as I tried, I couldn't patch the walls I had built over the years. It infuriated me that I had to confront and accept these traumas as part of my identity. Yet I realized that through acknowledging them, that I could find liberation. I was rocking back and forth, trying to keep myself from crying. I don't know how long I was sitting there. I started feeling this intense internal battle. One part of me resisted the pain inflicted by my father's rejection, while the other demanded acknowledgement of the impact it had on my life. I was so angry. They wanted me to forgive that motherfucker, and I didn't want to, because if I forgave him, that meant he hurt me. In my stubbornness, I didn't want to give him that satisfaction. I was so angry. They wanted me to forgive that motherfucker, and I didn't want to, because if I forgave him, that meant he hurt me. In my stubbornness, I didn't want to give him that satisfaction. In a fit of anger, I finally shouted to spirit, "You want me to say it? I'll say it. I forgive you, Gaudi. I forgive you." Since I never wanted to acknowledge that he was my father, I had given him a nickname. I was crying so loudly that my head began to throb. After I forgave him, I began to sense this relief wash over me, as if it was the beginning to purge my father's toxic love from my soul. After this brutal session with psilocybin, I didn't touch magic mushrooms for over 2 years. It wasn't until the summer of 2022, after a young lady gave me a jar of mushrooms that she grew, I had pretty much given away most of the money that she had given me. I think I must have had PTSD because just the mention of mushrooms would trigger the memory of me being in the fetal position on the floor that I wanted nothing to do with. One evening in October of 2022, I remembered I still had some of these mushrooms. I must have had about a gram. And I decided, you know what, I need to make peace with these fucking mushrooms. If I'm gonna end up in a fetal position, so be it. I took them, I waited for this emotional breakdown to happen, and I found myself the next 3 hours happily dancing. I realized at that moment that I was now going to be enjoying magic mushrooms the way that some people describe them, and I knew that I had healed. As I gradually began purging traumas from my mind, I needed time in between to adjust to the changes that were taking place within me. Understanding the root cause and connecting them to certain behaviors took a bit of time, and it took a lot of work on my part to get where I am today. There were instances where a memory would pop out of nowhere. I wouldn't even be thinking about it. There was nothing that was triggering the memory, and yet it would just pop in my mind randomly, and it would trigger a moment of clarity. As I healed, there was this other side of the psychedelic experience that I became aware of after exploring with free-based DMT, which made me start to think that this might not just be something being made up in our minds, which leads us to the next episode, Psychedelics and the Spiritual Connection. Now for the story of what convinced me that something was starting to change. In July of 2019, I went to a street festival. As I was walking around, there were random people that were just, for no reason, I wasn't even interacting with them, they would just come up to me and give me a hug. I was very taken aback because this never happened to me, since I had this energetic feel that had repelled people. Most people just stayed away from me because I just closed myself off. I didn't care to have anyone in my life. Having these random people giving me a hug was very touching, that I started to understand that my energy was shifting as well as I was healing, where I was feeling that I was starting to open myself up more to people. A few weeks after this festival, something happened as I was watering my plants that gave me validation that my energy was starting to change as well. During the time that I was married, I used to have this peace lily, and these particular plants, they tend to grow this white flower. No matter where I placed this plant, I couldn't get it to bloom its white flowers. And I had this plant for many years, and I never could get it to bloom its flowers. At some point, I just gave up, forgot about that they have these flowers, until that day when I went to water it, and I noticed that there was a white flower starting to emerge. For me, personally, it gave me validation that my energy was starting to change into something more positive. If you enjoyed this podcast, please like, subscribe, share. Thank you. As Spirit sometimes tells me, that's enough information. Till next time, my fellow psychonauts, wherever you are, happy tripping.